It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a Wisconsin author celebrates a couple of big national awards. We'll find out about the book that brought in the blue ribbon.
First, tonight's the big night for the record-breaking $1.5 billion Powerball jackpot.
The size of the jackpot has many people who don't normally play or even pay attention to the lottery getting involved in the game. And our next guest broke down some of the numbers in a new blog post.
Joining us now is Laura Albert McClay. She's Associate Professor of Industrial and Systems Engineering for the UW-Madison. She blogs at Punk Rock Operations Research. Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here.
So a lot of people who might not ordinarily play the lottery are thinking about it today. What are the odds, first of all, of someone buying one ticket and winning this thing?
Not good. And the odds are just as dismal as they always are, one in about 292 million. What's different now is the payoff's a lot higher.
Right. So that weighs into the calculation. You're no more likely to win now than at any other time. But do we need to factor in the potential winnings as we complete the complicated mental arithmetic that goes into whether we buy a ticket or not?
I mean, you can. Most of the time when you're buying a $2 lottery ticket, you're throwing most of that $2 away. But now it's a little bit closer to an even bet.
So we multiply out the investment times the potential winnings times the risk.
Exactly.
So what are the odds of someone winning tonight? Not an individual particular person, but of a winning ticket happening tonight.
You know, this lottery is really tough to win. I was expecting to crunch the numbers and have be almost certain that somebody would win it. And there's still a chance that it can roll over. It all depends on how many tickets are sold. But right now it looks like there might be as high as a 10% chance of this thing rolling over.
So you're somebody who's breaking down the numbers, you're looking at it, the odds of winning, the potential payout. Does that lead to you, Laura, buying a lottery ticket?
Probably not.
Probably.
Probably not. No, I mean, if this is a chance to buy, if you buy one lottery ticket, this is a good chance for it. It has great entertainment value today, more so than a regular lottery. But I don't see myself waiting in line and buying a lottery ticket.
And there may be lines, I would imagine, definitely.
Yes, definitely.
So you point out there are smaller prizes that might still be substantial if you get 5 out of 6, but those prizes don't, as I understand it, go up or down. It's
I think
a million, you wrote, if you get 5 numbers right.
Right, and there's ways to win $4 and $7, but those don't change with this bigger jackpot.
Talking to Laura Albert McClay about some of the numbers behind the decision making on whether we buy a lottery ticket when the jackpot goes to the ginormous levels as it has now. Now, you keep seeing in the news and in the more less mainstream media advice on how to get a winning number to up your chances. We've seen in various places people saying don't take numbers that are part of your life. Don't pick the numbers. Let the computer do it, and your odds are better. True or false?
False. Each set of numbers is equally likely to be picked.
So the numbers, the drawing doesn't care whether you put thought into the number or whether you pick them random.
Exactly.
And so theoretically, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 would be just as likely to come out as any other combination, though it would look to the observer like a really unrandom draw.
Right.
And so this teaches us a lesson, and I imagine this is something you try to teach people about what randomness is. Random doesn't mean it's going to look random to the observer.
That's true. And there's just a lot of ways that it looks random compared to a lot of ways that it doesn't look random. Like, there's only one way to get a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but a lot of really randomish looking ways to pick a lottery ticket.
And I've also seen things like saying, hey, 8s come up more often, I think was one of the numbers, or 13s, or whatever numbers come up again and again. That's no indication of what's going to get drawn tonight.
Exactly. That's what random looks like. If they pick all the numbers at the same frequency, that would be weird.
Yeah, I've talked to guests about probability before, and there's the thought we'll take a really simple one. If you flip a coin, it's heads 4 times in a row. Well, it must be really likely that you're going to flip tails the next time. Not true.
Not true. Definitely in the lottery, where we know it's really random.
How hard is it to get genuinely random numbers? Because we saw a scandal not that long ago with somebody with an in the lottery who was able to, I think, give somebody the key to the random number generator and make successful lottery predictions because he knew how the random numbers were going to be generated.
Right. I mean, when billions of dollars are on the line, it creates some kind of incentive to do that. But this is why they replace the balls all the time. The average player won't be able to influence the numbers and up their odds in any way.
I heard something about geography, and you mentioned this on your blog. Some people have been saying there are particular places where, for some reason, you're more likely to get a winning ticket. Pennsylvania, I think you mentioned, had come up.
Exactly. That's just another thing of that's what random looks like, but it doesn't mean you should drive to Pennsylvania. That has no predictive power. It means nothing for the future.
And we'd have to put our gas bill for driving the car there and the risk
time
of
money.
Time and wear.
That's an expensive lottery ticket.
Definitely. How about if we should win? Super lucky draw. Any thoughts on the eternal debate for all of us lottery winners? I'm not one, actually. Lump sum payment or annuity?
Definitely go with the annuity. It's over 30 payments over 29 years, and they're not all equal. But it looks like you'll come out quite far ahead with the annuity.
Okay. So this is another teachable moment on math. There was a blog post, I think when it was at $1.2 billion, like, hey, if we just take this money, divide it among 300 million Americans, that's $4,300,000 a piece. Somebody pointed out a correction. No, it's actually $4.30 a piece. Do you see a moment like this where we're talking numbers to be a teachable moment for mathematics?
There is. And, you know, if you'd come out ahead, you know, we'd all be playing the lottery all the time. But in general, it's not such a great deal, especially when you have to pay taxes on it. You're not really seeing that $1.5 billion. So I've been crunching the numbers, and it's close to breaking even, which is surprising. But it's still not a great investment.
Well, I want to talk about operations research a little bit. This is what you do, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know what it is. So you've written this lottery post. Again, it's a teachable moment, maybe. What is it that you do?
Operations research is the discipline that focuses on the science of decision-making. And since we focus on the science part, we do a lot of math modeling to guide in decision-making. We look at how to improve a system, make it more efficient. I also often say that if you hate waiting in line, you like operations research because we're efficiency experts. And we look at the system with its interconnected parts. So we're really good at figuring out how to change some part of the system that may have ripple effects throughout and still doing that in a good way.
Now, I could see this being really good, say, on the level of a corporation where people are sitting down, crunching lots of numbers, figuring out how to change procedures. But with a daily decision, weathered by a lottery ticket, which line to go in, can we really operationalize this to take that mental flow chart and do the calculations and make a daily decision like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of closed form expressions that kind of tell us, well, should I switch lines or should I stay in the line that I'm in? I mean, it's still random, so you still might lose and come out behind, but it certainly helps in everyday decisions. Being able to understand probability, the effect of rare events, shortest paths when driving to work. There's all sorts of things where operations research plays a role in helping make daily decisions.
With a $1.5 billion payoff, assuming you bought a ticket, Laura, which you probably won't, it sounds like, what kind of research could you do with that kind of money? What is the dream research that would help you understand human decision-making better?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I think there's a lot of real big challenges that we have right now, especially with big data, right? So data is just data. Right? It is a big buzzword we see in a lot of research right now. What we really need to do is to turn it into information and have that guide our decisions. And we're just seeing a lot of different applications in that area. One is healthcare right now. There's so much information in medical records, but how do we really take that, turn it into information, and maybe guide scheduling or patient follow-up visits or personalized medicine and treatment plans?
Well, that makes the lottery sound really simple. Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That was Laura Albert-McClay. She's an associate professor of industrial and systems engineering at UW-Madison. She blogs at Punk Rock Operations Research. That's punkrockor.com.